In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel today, given to us from St. Luke, details the healing of the lepers, one of whom returns to give thanks to God in recognition for what it is that he has received. And the one who returns, of course, is the one who should not. The Samaritan recognizes what it is that has been done to him, and in gratitude returns to give praise and thanks to God. But our gospel is not only about the gratitude that God rightly deserves for the blessings he bestows upon us. It is, in a very succinct way, an expression of the whole of the spiritual life. Beginning with them approaching the Lord and asking for his mercy, the Lord, of course, bestowing that mercy upon them, and then the Samaritan returning and giving thanks for that which he has received. And so it must be for us in the spiritual life as well. And because it is so simple, at times it becomes overly complex. We make it complicated because we're looking for more, because what God gives us is simple and clear. The Lord asks us to seek, to knock, to search, and promises us that he will give us not what we want, but what it is that we need. And of course, our eyes must always be open to the answering of those prayers in the manner in which God himself has decided. And maybe there is where our problems begin, because oftentimes we are blind to God's graces because they have not come to us in the manner that we anticipated or in the way that we wanted. Not only then do we ask God for certain things, we go a step further in our hubris and we demand from God that he give it to us in a particular way as well. It's not enough to seek his mercy. We must then somehow tell him how he should bestow that mercy upon us. But that's not our place. In truth, it isn't really even our place to ask God for anything, except God has enjoined us to do that very thing. And so in humility, in simplicity, in poverty, that is indeed what we do. But then the Lord, because he is merciful and indeed does love us, will answer our prayers. Not always in the manner that they have been given, or in the manner that we would want them to be given, but rather in the manner that he sees fit, knowing how it is a part of his divine providence, and how we can better then fulfill his will by the graces that he bestows upon us. And then this disposition of thanksgiving. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, I believe when we conceptualize thanksgiving, we often only think about it in terms of the immediate material things that God has bestowed upon us. If I can point to those, if I can see those, if I can understand those, touch those, have those, then in some particular way I can be thankful for God. But we forget and neglect that God has already given us the greatest of gifts. He's given us life, life abundantly. And then he has restored and renewed that life in the mystery of his Son's cross. And then he has sent the Holy Spirit to continue to vivify and sustain that very life. Our attitude of thanksgiving to God then is not limited to the material possessions that God bestows upon us, although indeed we need to recognize those. But our disposition of gratitude comes from what it is that God has accomplished in the Paschal mystery. New life, newness of life, and the fulfillment and the sustaining of that life by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Of course, it is easy to give thanks to God when we are at peace and everything is going as I want or see fit. When I have indeed all my material needs met and my possessions satisfied and life is indeed good. The sacrifice comes when there are crosses to bear, when there are difficulties that I must endure. Sacrifices that may seemingly weigh me down. It is precisely at those moments that I'm called to have a heart of gratitude for what it is that God has bestowed upon me. This is not an easy task. And God did not intend it to be an easy task. For if it were, he himself would not have mounted the cross. But he undertakes that greatest of sacrifices in order to show forth to us not only the power of God, but what comes when we are obedient to God and what we can do in that obedience. The Son, obedient to the Father, conquers sin and death once for all. We, in obedience to the work and the will of the Son, can perfectly fulfill the Father's injunctions for us, participate in the Son's salvific work, and in this life, prepare a place for ourselves in the life to come. In truth, maybe the most difficult thing about the spiritual life, about conforming ourselves to the will of God, is that it is not exciting or glamorous. It doesn't necessarily make someone famous, and oftentimes the fame that we come only happens after death, very rarely in life. And even then, maybe times begrudgingly are only known to a few. We may live and die, never only being known to those who immediately knew us, but certainly not necessarily transforming the world. And yet that is precisely how the world is transformed. Moment after moment, day after day, each and every single one of us corresponding to in obedience and joy the will of God, seeking him when we need him, being grateful when we've received what we've asked for, and in every moment seeking to conform to his will in all that it is that we say and do, day in and day out, when we are seen and unseen, known and unknown. Can this be done? And the answer, of course, is yes. In just a few days, we will gather here yet again to spend the day celebrating our great patron, who indeed was famous because of his kingly robes, but he himself abjured those for his dignity as a child of God. And it was there and only there that he sought truly his understanding of who he was and what it is that he was supposed to do. And in the fullness of time, he was recognized not because of the grandeur of his office or the generosity of his gifts, but because of the manner in which he was obedient to God, generous in doing his will, and grateful for the manifold blessings that God has bestowed upon him. How blessed we are to have St. Louis as our patron, someone we can follow after. But this is true of all of the holy men and women who have gone before us, those elevated to the altars and those that are maybe are only known to us, but in their lives, like this Samaritan, came back, knelt down, and gave thanks. Not because someone was watching, or someone was going to pay, or someone was going to recognize, because it was the right and proper thing to do in relationship with God. So if you have been wondering what it is that I must do in my life, or how do I strengthen my spiritual journey, or how do I continue to move forward, the answer is always the same. Do so with and in and through Christ. Do so with joy and confidence in what it is that God has already accomplished for you. And then in a spirit of gratitude, thank him for what it is that he bestows upon you. And then be about your business of being a true child of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.